Greetings to my dear brethren. In meditating and asking for the Lord's guidance and providing a few thoughts of Christ from the Word of God, my thoughts first went to the blessed truth that we as Christians have of being with Christ should the worst come upon us that man can think of, and that is death. Paul wrote that phrase, with Christ, in Philippians chapter 1. While he was contemplating his own possible death, and what a comfort those few words, those few verses have been to the saints over all these centuries. Death opens the door for us to be with Christ, which is far better. Using the title Christ, as in the phrase with Christ, we're put in mind of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as our Redeemer and our glorified head in the heavens, and of the certainty that death, should we experience it, will beyond any shadow of doubt bring us as his own, his redeemed ones, bring us home to himself. We sing these lines sometimes. Oh, what can equal joy divine, and what can sweeter be than knowing that this Christ is mine to all eternity? Safe in the Lord without a doubt, by virtue of the blood, for nothing can destroy the life that's hid with Christ in God. And then there's the phrase, with the Lord, which Paul uses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, while he's giving that revelation of the rapture of living believers, along with the resurrection of those who sleep through Jesus. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the dead in Christ in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. When we speak of being with the Lord, that title, Lord, has perhaps particularly in view him being Lord of all and Lord of lords in the coming day of his power, after he has returned for us and then very soon returns with us to reign over the earth. We read in Romans chapter 14 that whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. The thought of being forever with the Lord implies and looks forward to the truth of our coming back to reign with him. Paul assured the Thessalonians and us of the blessed truth of the Lord Jesus Christ being glorified over all in heaven and earth, and we glorified with him. But there's another phrase that's found a few times in the New Testament, and that is the phrase, with Jesus. Now here we perhaps have the idea of Jesus walking among men and of his disciples following him, where they were known by others as having been with Jesus. We could gather from this phrase that one of the primary things we could enjoy when we consider him as the man Jesus is that he was the one who called his disciples to walk with him, saying, "Follow me." Then, of course, we have that wonderful exhortation in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to run with endurance the race that lies before us, looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith. The man Jesus, who completely and perfectly walked the path of faith in this scene, is eminently worthy of our following him, of being both followed and imitated by us. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 51. And the scene here is the Lord Jesus having been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'll read Matthew 26, 51. "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's and smote off his ear." One of them which were with Jesus. Now we know from John's gospel that this was Simon Peter. He was in a favored place being there with Jesus. He had been with Jesus for 3.5 years and had heard his teaching on turning the other cheek in situations like this, and on how it was the will of the Father that Jesus would lay down his life for his own and to glorify God in doing so. But being under the sound of Jesus' teaching doesn't necessarily make a difference in our lives and in our actions until the Spirit of God makes it good to our hearts and consciences. Perhaps Peter had a real emotional desire to defend his master, and we can understand that. But the Lord had to rebuke Peter for that activity of the flesh. We need rebuke for acting in the flesh sometimes as well, for letting emotion rather than faith direct our action. Likely we need the rebuke and correction of our brethren much more often than we actually receive it. Now let's look at verse 69, later in the same chapter. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. Peter is now in the high priest's palace, warming himself by the fire. He has been observed as being with Jesus by one of several individuals, and this one was a girl, a damsel. Maybe she had seen him out in the streets at an earlier time with Jesus, and it had made an impression on her. But, Peter wasn't very close to Jesus at this time, and it's only in being close to the Lord that we can be kept from denying and dishonoring him. Being with Jesus at an earlier time in our lives will not guarantee that we'll be faithful when trials come. And Peter learned that the hard way after his third denial, and he went out and wept bitterly. Peter was the Lord's, and Jesus had him safely in his hands so that he couldn't utterly fall away. But we need to be near to him, with him, on the path of faith daily, in order to be happy and to grow in our souls, bearing fruit for him. Then, by the time we go from the gospel accounts of Jesus' arrest, his trial, his death, his resurrection, by the time we read on to Acts chapter 4, we've seen a remarkable change of scene. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came and baptized and filled the apostles with power, and they began to preach with boldness Jesus as the exalted Christ, the Messiah. Thousands were added to the newly formed assembly of God, and signs and wonders were done by the apostles as a testimony to the power of God and to the gospel. One miracle in particular, the healing of the lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple, gave occasion for Peter and John to preach Jesus to a multitude on Solomon's porch. The envious rulers of the Jews laid hands on them and put them in jail overnight, but only after another 5,000 believed the gospel. The next day, Peter and John were called to account for their message of the resurrection of this Jesus whom they were preaching. When they were asked by what power and under the authority of what name they were preaching to the people, Peter took the lead and gave an eloquent and powerful answer that confounded the rulers. And the inspired writer Luke records what these rulers thought of the two apostles, who were by no means learned men. And I'll read in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What a testimony to have their enemies and their detractors admit that there was an intelligence and a power in them that could not be explained by their education and their pedigree. But it was a direct result of having been with the very man whom those Jewish leaders had delivered up to be crucified. It was when they saw the boldness, or perhaps we could explain it this way, on the basis of the meaning of the original Greek word, when they saw the confident plainness of both Peter and John, that their evaluation, the ruler's evaluation, was that they behaved and spoke that way because they followed Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God gave them to recall the words of Jesus which he had taught them, which they had heard from him during his ministry, and they spoke plainly that which he taught them from the Holy Scriptures with all confidence in their glorified Savior. How is it with us, dear Christian brothers and sisters? Is it plain to others that we have been with Jesus? Are we exercised about following in the path of faith with him on a daily basis, hour by hour, in the power of the Spirit, so that our words and our ways give abundant evidence to others that we are in communion with him and that we're walking in the steps that Jesus walked while a dependent man here in this world. Oh, how much I fail in that, and perhaps you do too. But it ought to be our heart's desire to learn from his lowly, patient, and obedient ways, so that it might be said of us that we have been with Jesus. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in our walk and ways, and may it be clear that we have been with Jesus in our spirits.